Our lesson today is going to be concerning the church and those who would stray away from it. My name is Garland Robinson. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The church began shortly after the death and resurrection of our Lord. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, we read that it was on the first Pentecost after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It began as the purpose of God. It wasn't an accident. It was God's all-time, long-time plan to set forth His church, the kingdom that we read of throughout the Old Testament. It was given by the inspiration of God. The Bible is its guide. We do not use creeds or manuals or disciplines. We stay away from the doctrines and commandments of men. We simply follow that which the Bible commands. But one of the sad notes about it is that throughout the generations, in every century, there have been those who didn't want to follow God's plan. There have been those who would deviate or digress, wander away from God's simple truth. You know, when people's attitudes toward the Bible and respect for the words of Christ are not in accordance with the will of Christ, then you're going to find that they're not going to stay in the old paths where they should. But we ought not be so discouraged, because the Bible tells us that is the way it would be. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, we read where Jesus Himself said, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Also in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So it's not always the case that those who embrace the teaching of the New Testament, that they stay with it. Many of them fall away and are consequently lost. We read also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Here are individuals who once embraced the name of Christ. They lived as Christians, but for whatever reason, they moved away from the soundness, the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned their ears unto fables and the doctrines and commandments of men. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." So that's always the way it's been. The Lord reveals to us, tells us up front, there are going to be some that initially will embrace the gospel and then they turn their back on it. Perhaps they think they're doing God's service, but they're not. They are doing the service of the devil, our great enemy. Many do not respect the authority of the Scriptures, and so they're not going to follow the way of Christ. Men have always done that. It doesn't make it right, but it's simply reality to show that that's the way it is. When Jesus said there's going to be false prophets come in sheep's clothing, He wasn't just taking up space. He wasn't just saying something that really didn't make any difference. But when He mentioned in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they ravening wolves," He meant what He said. A false prophet, a false teacher, one who would lead us away from the truth. I heard someone say the other day, you know, they look just like we do. They comb their hair, they brush their teeth, they have on nice or appropriate clothes. They don't come waving a flag and saying, "Watch out, I'm a false teacher, I'm going to lead you astray." They sound very pleasing. Their attitude and disposition is very pleasing to people, and they want to follow that. But the Bible says you have to watch what they say. On the inside, there is a wild and weary wolf. In Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14, we read that the Lord said, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and of the deceit of their heart." Also in Jeremiah 23 and verse 14, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Also in verse 16 of Jeremiah 23, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Well, that was true in the Old Testament. The same principle is true today. And it's unpopular for those who love the truth and are willing to contend for the faith and to follow the commandments of the Lord. It's unpopular for them because people think that they're old fogies. They think that they're Bible thumpers. They bring upon them all kinds of ridicule and scorn. But yet, those are the people that love God. They're willing to go against the grain, against the times, and stand out with God. Those are the ones that care more for the praise of God than the praise of men. And we want to be among that number, don't we? Don't you want to have the favor of God? Because I'm not going to be judged by what man says. We're going to be judged by what God says. But as the Lord revealed to us, there's going to be many who love runs cold. Their idea is, tone it down. They had rather win friends and influence people, but to what purpose and for what end? Our job, if we're going to love the truth and do right and be with God's favor, is to proclaim the gospel in its entirety, to expose sin for what it is, to rebuke the erring, to proclaim salvation through faithful obedience to God and not unto men. You know what was said to Ezekiel, a prophet in the Old Testament? Ezekiel 3, verse 8 and 9, Behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Here God tells Ezekiel, You hang on, you be strong, be hard-headed, if you please, because we're hard-headed in the truth and will not move from it. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, we read, Therefore have I set thy face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that the Lord said unto him, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go unto all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. In verse 17, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I've made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. What God tells Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 1, is, Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Friends, that's what we desire to do. We do so lovingly, we do so caringly, is simply to contend for the faith. Jude verse 3 tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. That means the way of God, as it's revealed in the Scripture, the purity and simplicity of God's loving Word, that we've got to stand up and be counted. Because we're at war. We're in a desperate battle, not with guns and helicopter rocket ships and things of a material nature, but we're in a spiritual war, a spiritual battle, and it's for the souls of men. We need to draw forth the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use it wisely, lovingly, caringly, because that's the only thing that men will ever be able to obey and receive the forgiveness of their sins. It's time that we wage war in this spiritual battle and that we never let up. We never back off. We never turn our backs but until we're finally met with death and we can do no more. You know, if we don't, the church is not going to continue in its prosperity. It's going to fall away. It's going to go headlong into apostasy. It'll continue to split and to splinter and be unrecognizable in comparison to the first century church. We want to make sure we're doing God's will. That's the whole point. So we need to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. We need to prove and test ourselves every day. And the only way we do that is not by man's standard, but by God's standard. We need to see if these things are so. Be like those in Berea in Acts 17 and verse 11. To study the Scriptures daily and to make sure what we're doing is the will of God. You know where a lot of the problem and fault lies? It's at the feet of elders. Those who have been given charge to take care of the congregations. When Paul mentions to the church in Ephesus, the elders there, he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." That's the way it was then, and that's the way it is now. We need to make sure that we are following God's way. And those who are the elders, the shepherds, the bishops, the pastors in the congregation, God's given you the charge to watch over the flock, to keep it pure, to keep out the false teachers and the wolves, keep out those who would lead people astray, because we're in a spiritual battle. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, all those great books tell us to hold fast the form of sound words, because the church can go into apostasy in even less than one generation. When you get an eldership or a preacher in a congregation that is let alone to do their own work and not the work of the Lord, they're going to convince people, hold them down, pull them back, and if they fail to uphold the whole counsel of God, that congregation will go into apostasy. But rather we need God-fearing, godly preachers and elders who will stand up and rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Titus chapter 1 and verse 13. Friend, don't you want to be sound in the faith? That's what we all need to do, so let's get busy doing it. Going back to loving God, loving His Word, living it in our lives every single day.